Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community. Brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and Cooper & Company Law Firm. Mix 103.7.
Good afternoon and welcome to this edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. Joining me in studio today is Mayor of the Regional Municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott, following another very lengthy meeting last night. How you doing this morning, Mayor?
It went till 1 a.m., so we unfortunately are setting a couple of records this term. We went till 2 a.m. about a month and a half ago, and now 1 a.m. last night, so we've had some late meetings.
Well, I hope you got a nice little quick nap in before coming over here. It was a very, very busy meeting, covered lots from the two-year wildfire update, firebreak rehabilitation. We're going to get to all of those. But first, there was an audit that was recently done by MNP, and it's the looking at the procurement audits and how the municipality has handled those. Did find a few shortfalls, if you just want to explain for our listeners what the report found.
Yeah, we did a procurement audit. What that means is that the Myers Norris Penney did an audit of our entire procurement process to see if we were following our own policies at the municipality and whether we were following leading policies. What they found is that we had a lot of areas that we needed to improve in. And right after they presented, we had our own administrative team present an action plan as to how they were going to address the problems that the Myers-Norris Penney audit discovered. The mayor and council, I think it's fair to say, had noticed a lot of problems or had sensed a lot of problems because we'd been hearing from community members and businesses about, the challenges that they were having with the procurement process. So it didn't come as a big surprise, I think, to council that, in fact, we were not following our own policies and that we were not, in fact, following leading policies. So I think it's fair to say that we're pleased to see an action plan that addresses this, and we're looking forward to a much improved process.
Is this just something, you just go about your daily work schedule and things just after a while kind of fall out of place? Is this just one of those things and then it hadn't been looked at in a while?
Yeah, I did ask the question last night about how often these should be reviewed, and it's, they suggested every 2 to 3 years. My understanding is this has not been done for a long time, so, it was something that was completely necessary. We had heard from a lot of people that there were problems with their procurement process. A lot of the questions last night involved getting more people, to get the work locally. So that was a big focus of discussion last night. There are some trade agreements that prohibit, focusing on local procurement. But we were asking if there's ways that that can be addressed. Councillor McGrath has always been very vehement that he wants to see more procurement done locally, and I feel the exact same way and have expressed that many times. We're working against some procurement issues that the provincial and federal governments have in place, trade agreements, but we're going to be looking to lobby them. That's something else that came up last night, is we need to start lobbying other levels of government on this issue. If there's reasons that we can't start focusing more on our local businesses, that's something that we need to focus on. So we would all, I think, like to see our local businesses getting more procurement opportunities, but essentially the whole procurement procedure is going to be improved through the audit that occurred last night and the action plan that came out of that audit.
Yeah, because there's 4 or 5 different trade agreements that you have to follow, right?
That's right. And they affect us in a big way because we can't just do what we'd like. Obviously, I think if we could just do what we wanted, we'd give every procurement opportunity to local businesses because they're the ones that support this community. They're the ones that employ people. They're the ones that support the local, teams, making sure that they support, charities, everything that goes on in this community. So it's, we have to work within the rules, and sometimes we don't set the rules. The rules are set by others, but we still do our best that we can, and we want to make sure that at least every business that's in this region has the opportunity and understands the process of how to apply for those opportunities.
I think one of the biggest things from this, so 20 of 25 leading practices for the competitive procurement evaluation, it found that you were aligned with, and then 31 of 39 on the non-competitive bids. But it sounds like the biggest thing from this is just better training and understanding for employees.
Yeah, and that includes council. We've got training set up for council as well. So what you've identified is exactly correct. There were a lot of problems identified. And among those, we're going to have much better education, and councils right among those being educated on the entire procurement process. We've always sensed there was a problem. Now we have confirmed it.
When was this audit initiated?
I believe it was right after January. It was one of the things we had in our strategic plan was to do a procurement review or to certainly improve our procurement process. So it really arose out of after the election, because certainly during the election, we'd heard that there were a lot of challenges with procurement.
How many people are involved in that process within the municipality? Is it a handful of people, a large group?
There's a team of people that deal with it. I can't say the exact
number,
but there are several people that deal with procurement through the process, and obviously the Myers Norris Penney team went in and kind of evaluated everything that we're doing.
So like you said, an action plan has been created, going to get quarterly updates, is that right?
We are going to get quarterly updates, and I think it's fair to say that we're going to be keeping a close eye on it as we go forward, just making sure that, that we are in fact implementing the action plan that was identified last night at council. I think if people are really interested in this and they want to see this, the documents are still available online if people want to see the procurement review. It's on the municipal website, or if you want to in fact watch the council meeting from last night, it's you know, there's a lot of good information there, especially those that own businesses and might be interested in engaging in procurement. Or if you feel like you'd like to engage in procurement with the municipality, I would appreciate if people would reach out, or businesses would reach out. We certainly want to encourage more local businesses to get involved in procurement in this region.
Yeah, I was going to say, this may not be of interest to every community member, but if you do have a business and you're wondering why you don't get chosen over an outside company, that's one of the reasons.
Yeah, we certainly, it does affect the region in a big way, because those businesses that get opportunities with the municipality, they hire people, they mm-hmm. spend more money in this region. So it does have a pretty wide-ranging effect. So, you know, it's something that's, I think, at the heart of a lot of the things we do. We want to make sure that the people in this region and the businesses in this region have opportunities. Now, we have trade agreements that we are dealing with, and those limit what we can do in a big way, and that was discussed last night. But at the same time, if there's agreements that are in place that affect us, then maybe there's an opportunity to lobby with other levels of government to talk about how we can maybe carve out exceptions or modify those trade agreements.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll continue this conversation with Mayor Don Scott when we return after these commercials. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and you're listening to Fort McMurray Matters.
We will return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and Cooper & Company Law Firm. Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and Cooper & Company Law Firm. Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. If you're just tuning into the show today, once again, joining me in studio is Mayor of the RMWB, Don Scott. Last night, it was another long meeting going into roughly 1 a.m. One of the items discussed in the first reading, was it passed, of the marijuana legislation, kind of following along with the provincial and federal rules, and then the municipality had been conducting workshops and that online survey to gather public input.
That's right. So July 9th is going to be the date when the public can come and appear before council and give their views on this really important topic. So anything to do with cannabis is basically going to be before us on July 9th, and that's when it's going to be at a public meeting. So first reading was last night, and what that means is that simply puts it on the agenda for the next occasion, which is July 9th. So nobody spoke to it last night. We simply put it on the agenda, and I would encourage anybody who's got an interest in this topic to certainly come before council on July 9th. There's obviously going to be a lot to talk about that evening.
And I think it's important to note, and which I believe we've spoken about before on this show, is that a lot of this is federally and provincially regulated. So what rules can the municipality implement?
That's right. A lot of times what happens is the federal and provincial governments set out essentially a box that we have to work within. So sometimes there's maneuverability within that box, though, so we want to make sure that we're meeting the residents' needs and that people, you know, come and have the opportunity to certainly speak to council. Sometimes the box is already set by other levels of government, so we may not have the flexibility we need to do certain things, but it also gives us the feedback we need when people come to us and talk at council, because if we need to start lobbying other levels of government, once again, sometimes we need to change the box. If we have a lot of residents who think in a certain way, then we need to certainly make sure that we're communicating that to not only other levels of government, but and letting the community know the feedback that we're getting.
Right now, as it stands, it's about 100 meters from health centers, schools, for where a shop would be located. And like the province set out, 18 years of age. So what rules specifically could the municipality change? It's just where you can smoke it?
Yeah, where the dispensaries are located. You know, there's going to need to be a lot of talk about buildings like condominiums, you know, public areas. Where should, you know, people be permitted, if at all, to smoke cannabis? And there's also going to be, I think, people talking about the opportunities of growing cannabis and the potential business opportunities. So I expect that to arise. Certainly people in the community have already come up to me and started talking to me about that. So we expect a pretty wide-ranging discussion on it. So that's why we set a special meeting on July 9th. So if you have any views on it, no matter what those views are, I would really be grateful to hear it. And I know my council colleagues would be as well. So July 9th, you can come as a delegate and speak to any view that you have. And we would appreciate the feedback.
Moving forward, as we mentioned earlier, there was a 2-year wildfire update that was given. The Red Cross said the majority of the funding that we received from supporters and donors basically all over the world, the majority of that has been spent. When it comes to the actual rebuild itself, about 80% of the building and development permits have been issued, and then 21% of all the buildings destroyed have been rebuilt. Just your thoughts on hearing those numbers.
Yeah, I'm never fully satisfied with where we're at, but I think that's more a personal thing. You know, I always want more people back in their homes, no matter how many they tell me. I always feel that we should have more. But we are basically on pace with where the municipality thought we'd be at this time. The Red Cross has done amazing work in this community, and I thank them on behalf of the region. They did commit to making sure that every dollar that was raised for this region is in fact spent in this region and used for the benefit of this region. So, you know, I'm always pleased to hear that. I want to make sure that this region gets the benefit of all the generosity of Canadians and other Albertans who looked after this region during the fire. So they did commit to making sure that that happened, and they are still present. Another thing that we talked a lot about last night is, if you've gone to the Red Cross before and maybe they didn't offer a service in the past, they are always reviewing their service delivery options and referrals. So if you need help, be sure to reach out, and that includes mental health help. We talked a lot about making sure that young people and others had the opportunity to seek mental health supports, and that they are a great referral location. So if you have difficulties, or if you know a neighbor who's going through difficulties, please refer them to the Red Cross. They are here to help us, and certainly are committed to making sure that they help the residents of this region. As far as the numbers go for the region, we are on track with where the municipality anticipated. I always want to see more people back in their homes. We expect about 1,000 families to be back in their homes by the end of this year. You know, there's always more work to be done, but we are making progress.
And I mean, kind of on pace initially when this all happened, they talked about the 5 years, right? So I mean, we just passed 2 years now, and we're at 80% of building permits and development permits being issued. So it'll never be fast enough for people who aren't in their homes, but
that's exactly right. And for those who are facing insurance challenges, I would encourage you to reach out to the Insurance Bureau of Canada. They were also before council last night. They've gone into a major marketing campaign trying to encourage people to reach out if somebody hasn't you know, resolved their insurance issues yet, or if they're still going through that process. There is potentially help through the Insurance Bureau of Canada, and they can talk to you about options there as well. So if you have an insurance issue that's outstanding, if you need the guidance of the Insurance Bureau of Canada, they have options. Be sure to reach out and talk to them. There is a 1-year extension that has been, you know, instituted by the provincial government. This mayor and council lobbied very hard for that. It's something that we wanted. And the Insurance Bureau of Canada, I've got to say, they appear to be certainly putting in a big effort to make sure that that they're resolving as many claims as they can. I know there's a lot of people out there that do not have their claims resolved, and I want to see everybody get theirs resolved. So if you're having difficulties, be sure to reach out to the Insurance Bureau of Canada. Be sure to talk to a lawyer if you have not talked to a lawyer yet. There's, you know, if you're going through some challenges with your insurance, get the help you need.
Anything else you want to add on that?
No, I think that that covers that topic.
For another big discussion, it was talked about for quite a while. It has been deferred to have administration look into it a bit more, but it's the rural waste and water, and basically deferred because the number was higher than what was set out initially, right?
Yeah, so those, for those of you who might not have been at council last night or realize what happened at council, basically one of the issues that came up is the hookup issue, hooking people up in the rural communities. So we've already gone a fair distance down the road of getting water and sewer installed, the lines, but how do we go the next step and make sure that people actually have access to this? And if we don't have people hooked up, do we have enough flow? So there's a lot of challenges related to that, and there's a lot of cost related to it that it doesn't look historically like it was specifically addressed, at least not in the way it is right now. So we took a long look at it last night. We had some presenters from the rural areas talking about some of the options that were presented, saying that they looked like they were good ideas. We had another presenter who indicated that he thought that we were significantly incorrect in the assumptions that the administration had put forward as far as the cost of doing some of the work. So what we did is we postponed the decision until we had more work done as far as understanding what the cost was. But it's something that there's a lot of passion about. The region has spent a lot of money on this issue, so we need to make sure that we get it as right as possible. And that's why we asked for more information.
So residents are being asked to pay $16,000 for the hookup of this. And then if they live in Sapre Creek, $10,000. Big discussion around what if they can't afford to hook up to the system?
Yeah, something that I talked a lot about last night. What I was concerned about is, how do we make sure that this makes sense for the residents? What was indicated last night and what I spoke quite a bit about was whether residents can be compelled to basically hook up to the system. And there was a big debate about that. I have a large concern about that. We asked municipal council last night about that. We talked about the whole process. If we don't have enough residents connected, then the system may not function as intended. And that's why we've got to make sure that there's a balance between affordability, getting people hooked up, and making sure that we have the flow that's going to make the system work. So it's a real challenge. And I think that's why more time really needs to be taken to make sure that we have it right.
And are you making it mandatory so residents have to hook up?
Well, nothing's mandatory at this point.
At this point, but it's being suggested.
What was proposed last night would have been a mandatory hookup. At least that could have been the outcome if there was a bylaw passed that had that effect. So that would have affected a lot of residents. And we need to make sure that we're getting the right result. There's been a lot of investment so far, but if you don't have the right result, then it's all for naught. So we're at one of the toughest stages right now, because this is really the heart of things. How many residents are going to hook up? Are we going to have the flow to make the system functional? So it's a real challenge to make sure that it is properly done.
Right. So now administration going back, looking at numbers, and then we'll report back to council.
That's correct.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be back with more after these commercials.
We will return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and Cooper & Company Law Firm. Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters, brought to you by Culligan Water, Fort McMurray Orthodontics, and Cooper & Company Law Firm. Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Elizabeth Priest. Once again, joining me in studio today is Mayor of the RMWB, Don Scott. We're talking about a very jam-packed agenda earlier on in the show. Winding down now is the 2018 census, the first conducted since the 2016 wildfire. The last census that we had before the fire showed there was about 82,000, roughly, residents in the region. Now we are sitting at 74, a bit more.
So the number we're at as of this morning was 74,082. Now, the census is not done. It goes on until June 30th. And we're making good progress, but the census is absolutely critical for people to participate in, because we get money by the number of residents that live in this region. So please, if you have not participated in the census, you can go online. You can contact any counselor or your mayor, and we will help you understand that process. But it's absolutely important. If you just go on to rmwb.ca, and look at the census information. You can participate right there. So we would love to see a lot of people participate. We want to make sure that everybody gets counted.
To participate online, you would have gotten a PIN number. If they didn't get that number, can they call the Pulse line and try and figure out where that is?
Absolutely. Or if you're having troubles, just email me, mayor@rmwb.ca, and we want to make sure everyone gets counted.
Anything else you want to add before we do go, as we're running out of time?
No, I think we've covered everything. It was a good meeting last night. There's a lot more work to be done. There's going to be a few long meetings coming up.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me in studio today. And that is our show for today. We will be back again tomorrow from noon to 12:30 right here on Mix 103.7. I'm Elizabeth Priest, and you've been listening to Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Want to download this episode? Download the Fort McMurray Matters podcast at mix1037fm.com.